Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Blue Galactic Eagle, and it is the eighth day of the Yellow Star Wave Spell. And it is the overtone moon, day 24. And the most important thing is that it is the last wave spell of the Zolk'in. It's Yellow Star Wave Spell, and that's the final one. And then we begin again with Red Dragon, but it's a big beginning. It's a big change. So you have 5 days to observe that and to feel how you are summing up some situation or section of your life that has elapsed over these last 255 days, essentially the last 9 months. The really obvious thing that we all share is COVID-19, which began in March. The quarantine, first instance of it, was in the last part of March, and I think it was March 28th or 9th that the Zolk'in began on, like the red magnetic dragon day was back at the end of March. And so it's perfect that we're being pushed towards vaccination and just a shift in consciousness around this incredible epidemic and the time frame, the 260-day time frame, is meaningful. You can start to see 260-day resonances in your life when you follow this path in your own and outward. Like, that's an example of one. So we're not going to say, oh, 2020, the year, it's such a difficult year. Yes, it's been difficult, but it's been 260 days of it primarily. And not to say that we will all have our vaccine after 260 days at all. In fact, it's apparent that it's going to be a very dark and dangerous extended winter. So I'm not trying to be literal, and I'm not trying to fix everything through the lens of natural time. I find that really annoying. It's more just observing sequences that feel synchronistic, and to go from not understanding even what COVID-19 is, coronavirus, to watching vaccine trials take off in Britain in a 260-day turnaround, that's very profound to me. Ta-dum. That's it. The other thing, for me, the red magnetic dragon day that happened last March was so memorable. It was just a very memorable day. There was something really horrible happened on that memorable day. And I just find it perfect that it's so memorable, because then I can track and think of what has happened since. But we all can, because of our quarantining. But I'm able to take that situation in my life and go, oh, well, that's fantastic, because that's a theme. You know, it was a really abrupt and sort of horrifying personal experience with a man, but it ended up being like augury for the whole 260 days. And finally, this move that I've made in Northern California, because check it out, 260 days ago, I had no intention of moving to Northern California, zero. But I was moving because I had been living somewhere, and because of COVID-19, I needed to move back to the home that I owned. And so I was actually involved in a move, and that was sort of the horrifying incident, was someone was helping me move and was a mean, argumentative, critical, impatient person helping me move. And so the move went terribly, and I cried like the whole time in my separate vehicle because we weren't going to ride together and share germs. And I just think it's really, again, poignant and hilarious for me that that move, which was supposed to be just like a short little relocation homeward, presaged just upending my life entirely. And I'm in this moving process, and I don't even talk to people who aren't in a moving process, because it is, you need to be reminded by having done it recently, like, it's just so crazy to put all your things in boxes and then in a truck and then arrive somewhere new, etc. So I started the Red Magnetic Dragon with this kind of incidental move. And over the course of the 260-day Zolkin cycle, I did the epic move, which is, you know, finally achieved. I have moved. And so I find that interesting in my life. And I'm wondering if you have a parallel, like I began with, the collective truth is that we're all navigating the epidemic. And then in an individuated way, you might be able to point to something that started for you personally back at the end of March. Try to figure it out. It's fun. And then if you can't figure it out because it's far too long ago, then try to figure it out from the beginning of this next Zolkin. You know, it's worth finding out what's going on in the Red Dragon Wave spell, because it has this, it's conceiving, it's the conception point for something that's going to be born 260 days later. It's, what do they call it, an Ouroboros, the snake that eats its own tail. The Red Dragon Wave spell is the birth of something you conceived 260 days ago, and it is the conception of something that you will birth 260 days forward. It is both things. So it's an interesting one. But we're in Yellow Star. We're finishing it slowly. We're not nearly finished. I haven't been talking here as much, so I haven't told you a lot about Yellow Star, just some things. It is about beautification. So it's not just about beauty, but it's about beautifying. So we get to have a role in making things pretty. I really love on Yellow Star days this accidental grace of just wanting to look pretty. As a female, like, that will be the day that I adorn myself in a dress to go shopping. And I'll wonder why, you know, food shopping. I'll be like, oh, because it's Yellow Star and this day is designed for beautification, art, to become an art object. And so we have that impulse when it's a Yellow Star day, and then maybe it's extended in a Yellow Star wave spell to be not just about adornment, but our whole lives. I'm not quite sure. I'm personally really emphatic right now about the beautification of my new home, which is just going to be a way longer process than the wave spell, but it's a really good driving force for the project I'm in to have it be the Yellow Star time. And I think that that becomes another kind of Ouroboros. It's, or, you know, it's a conundrum. It's like, is it because it's the Yellow Star time that I am so engrossed in making my new place beautiful? Or was I meant to arrive right in the Yellow Star wave spell at a place that I would naturally want to make beautiful? I mean, I'm in the right time and the right place, but which came first, the time or the place, the situation in my life, or the Zolkin wave spell? You know, increasingly I will go with the whole, like, it's just, if it's in the flow, if we're in the magical enchantment that this path describes, then, you know, I will
be put in a position where I am demanded, it's demanded of me that I be actively beautifying something right in synchrony with the yellow star wave spell. So you can decide and see where you are beautifying right now, where you're working with life as an art expression, where it's physical beauty you're aiming for, where you're seeing yourself as star-like and resilient and radiant, bright, really bright, you know, illuminated being. I really like the way that the wave spells flow here at the end of the Zolk'in. We were with white wind and then blue eagle like lifts on the back of white wind, is carried skyward and then right into the stars of yellow star. You know, that's what's really poignant to me, is that there's this obvious rising sequence and spiritualizing, where we just become wind, we become air, we become sort of the father sky portrayal of divinity, and then we're eagle, we're in our highest mind, we are in the godlike part of our own beings, the mind and our higher consciousness sort of direct us as a divinity in our own beings, and then we become stars, and it's the end and the beginning. You know, it's fun to believe that the ascended Maya are star people, that they live out there in the cosmos, they direct us from their ability to go home to the star teachings that they held when they were alive as a civilization and strong force. And it's fun to think that when each of us dies, that we return to the stars. You know, that's a different picture of heaven than lying around on white clouds, but to be actually beyond the atmosphere out in the star system. And let's see. So yeah, the yellow star wave spell is the most important facet of it, really, is just that it's the finishing point, and it's time of grace. And red dragon, the wave spell, and everything that begins as Zolk'in is much grittier. The birth experience is very physical and messy. You know, it's not abstract, it's not messy like sloppy, it's messy because nothing's held back. It's visceral, but right now we're in much more like ether, and things are disseminated and spectral and you know, light filled. But we're going to get really embodied next. And this overtone time will also be ending in a few days. They're going to sort of synchronically both end, and we'll start the new Zolk'in and the rhythmic moon. And so what is the overtone time? How do I best empower myself is the question. So it is a bit self-reverential, and it's about becoming empowered. Doesn't mean having power over others, but being empowered instead of disempowered. That's a great way to see it. You know, disempowered means that you're not connected to your power. Empowered means you're connected to your power. And we all connect to our power because it's a wave spell of 13 moons, and this is the fifth moon. We're well into the year, and at the fifth tone or the fifth moon, we need power so that our wave can climb powerfully into the sky in this path of ascension, this curvature that tries to climb right into the heavens but is going to be held at bay by gravity, and the, you know, so it becomes a wave rather than just like a streaming exodus. A wave is something that grows and then capitulates back to Earth, and we are halfway to the peak of the wave now, completing the fifth moon. When we complete the tenth moon is when the wave will have reached its highest peak and is obligated to turn back to Earth. And part of the wave spell of 13 that we celebrate includes the journey back to Earth, which is a quicker journey, but nonetheless it's not just a count of from baseline to the peak ascent. its account from baseline to peak ascent back to baseline. And yet the overtone moment, this fifth moon or this fifth tone of 13 represents the midpoint on the journey to the peak of the wave. And it really is what establishes that this is a growing altitudinal change, meaning there'll be a revelation that comes from ascent. You know, like overtone is got a spiritual force as well. Like, this is real. We're really going upward. Our lives are bent towards illumination because that's what upward represents, getting closer to the resonances of both the afterlife and the beyond. The supernatural state is all quote unquote up there. That's where we're going. And the overtone time makes it really clear that we are moving towards the sky. Prior, in the first four tones, I think the wave form is more about what's happening under the surface of the water. And the overtone is breaking the surface of the water so that suddenly we are higher than sea level, whereas all the growth prior to this moment is happening as we are still ascending. We begin always an ascent, but it's happening within the paradigm of the ocean itself. You know, this is all metaphor, but it's as if we're in the turgidity of, you know, the underbelly of ourselves, or the layers that haven't broken consciousness completely, or it's for ourselves, but we can't share it with anyone until now. Just think about this again as a wave. The wave begins from a current or a refraction from water moving against the bottom of the ocean, any kind of seismic disturbance. A wave begins well before we can see it pushing water into the air, which is when we see waves on the ocean, all we're imagining is this altitudinal change. But those waves have all begun below the surface. And so the first four tones, magnetic, lunar, electric, self-existing, to me, it's the wave that is underwater and sort of invisible. And then the overtone is beginning of the wave that is very visible and will continue to be until the peak. And the planetary tone is named that because it's like the most obvious moment that something's a mountain, and a mountain is part of the planet. A mountain is part of Earth. The watery mountain that we achieve in the planetary tone is a reflection of formations that are on Earth that are planetary. So the overtone moon will finish on Saturday, and then we'll begin the rhythmic moon. I will try to podcast again then. The things that we can just feel or notice are that we do feel empowered and radiant, and that will be confusing because yellow star is also about empowerment and radiance in its own way. But there's a nice doubling of that energy right now. It's very Christmassy energy happening well before Christmas. But I would say that both overtone and yellow star are very like true Christmas celebrations. You know, what we try to do at Christmas time is create light in the midst of, you know, the greatest pitch of darkness. It's a solstice ritual, actually, Christmas. And that's what we're doing here in yellow star, and the overtone moon is just seeking our greatest light, inner light, radiance, how we are powerful because of our aliveness, which is fire inside, fire expressed, flaming kinds of power displays, but that are not about power over others, but instead just, you know, amazing self-generating power that we hold within us. That is what has happened and in this time. And it just reminds me of the optimal part of a winter holiday, which is showing that we have light and resilience even in the greatest time of darkness, the absence of the sun, the greatest star. So those are two things that we now know about. We know about the overtone moon finishing, and we know about the yellow star wave spell. And what else? We know that the Zulcan is ending. We know that the Zulcan is beginning again. Are there other synchronicities that I have not addressed? I am a tired person. The overtone experience in my own life is so on fire with physical triumph. You know, I am an overtone person, an overtone moon. I've just turned 52. Everything is just sort of like right in my wheelhouse. And for better or for worse, I'm using it all to be this dynamo at the relocation, the moving, the driving of the moving van, which was an absolute nightmare, a failure, and the person who unloads her own van. I mean, just like I'm doing it all because I'm overtone and it's my time. So what you can, let's see, you can anticipate that in the rhythmic moon, what happens is that we don't have the same force. It's not as dramatic. It's not a display of power. And again, not power over others, but personal power. It's not a display of power because we're going to become rhythmic, which means we are just going to want to meet out, M-E-T-E, out our power in a rhythmic way instead of a like stopping, starting. Erratic is the opposite of rhythmic, and that's very hard to be arrhythmic, is to be... to not have a cadence, to not have a steadiness. To be arrhythmic is takes so much more energy than to just hit a rhythm. So we define for ourselves a way to have a rhythm, to be organized, so that all this power surge is sustaining. And it's a really busy time. That's the future, though. We'll get there. Be interesting to experience the rhythmic moon in a COVID year, because the rhythmic energy usually drives everyone to overplan and overshop for Christmas. But with that somewhat limited, maybe there'll be more musicianship, which is a really obvious way that you can be rhythmic and could be a success for you in the rhythmic moon. I feel like I'm just emitting some giant thing. What is it? A couple podcasts back, you know, to understand why it could have been really hard for people. I was specifically thinking we were maybe on the holiday weekend of Thanksgiving. I was saying, well, it's a blue storm year. It's a blue lunar storm year. And I do want to come back to that now and then, because we're far enough along in the year that we can reference it. It's a blue lunar storm year. That's July 26, 2020. This year began. It begins and is named for the Zulcan day. And that point of origin this year is blue lunar storm. And it's the second of a 13-year wave spell. The first year was white magnetic wizard. And then blue lunar storm, and then it'll be yellow electric seed, and red self-existing moon, and so on. But it's a lot to do the 13-year wave spell, and to start the 13-year wave spell in consciousness is a lot, because to have a magnetic year for 13 moons is a long time, for 365 days, and to have a lunar year for 365 days is also hard. But just remember, the truth is that the challenge that we identify in the lunar tone was always there in the magnetic one. So it's an interesting year, because we had a lot of challenges last year in the magnetic year, and they're still challenging now, but we're getting so much more information, because the question for the year is, what is my challenge? Or we can say identifying challenge is the theme of a lunar year. But what's just exciting is that we are basically, half the time we're experiencing the challenge without understanding it, and the other half we're understanding the challenge without experiencing it. So we're able to, I mean, there is some suffering, of course, but it's not blind for long, because we'll get our answers, because we're identifying the challenge this year. So that means that the challenge will arise, but alongside its explanation or definition, and then, you know, knowledge is power. It helps us, when we understand and identify our challenge, to have less reactivity to it. So by completing the fifth moon in a couple of days, if there are 13 moons, you can sort of do the math. That's like over a third of the way in a blue lunar storm year. Blue storm year, a year of upheaval, a year of transformation and clarity. Things become clear. And power, again, the storm is pretty powerful, being a force of nature. But identifying challenge and also experiencing polarity, separation, both culturally, that's famous now, like we're so culturally divided into, but maybe you feel separate from another and other. It's interesting. I love the lunar tone for this reason. It is a pair of dots. If you look at the Mayan numeric system, it is two dots next to each other and looks like eyes, right? Or what have you. But what I really like is just that it is the description of two. So the whole thing is like, it's like the tone of being a couple and of considering couplehood, self and other, you know, romance, or any relationships that are pairs are going, it's like the Gemini twins. It's going to be thematic, to be in the lunar tone, self and other. And on the other hand, it's about being separate. So you might be part of a pairing of people that feel really separated from one another and still be perfectly embodying the lunar year that we're in. Or you could say it like, you feel really separate, but you have yet to recognize that that which you feel separate from is the thing that you're connected to, because you're noticing the disconnection because there is connection. So I'm not very articulate, because I am a tired lady. And in fact, I'm just going to riff to finish up our podcast, because I don't feel very prophetic. I may have said this already. I did. I'm sure I did last time. Just that, you know, as I continue to be 52, but I'm recognizing that the biggest push and change was probably leading up to turning 52, and I wouldn't want anyone to miss the experience of that countdown. I had this very strong hit about wanting to die, or feeling like I was dying, you know, shortly after my birthday, kind of a surprise snafu having to do with moving, but just like, whoa, what is this feeling of wanting to die? I was in a pretty dangerous car crash, but I was really lucky. I fell out of the moving truck loading it with a big iron table, and it, you know, it didn't crush me. I may have talked about that. Like, I just had all these near misses of calamity, and you know, at each crossing I could be like, oh, I see how people die when they're 52. And I had mentioned that I went to high school and college with someone exactly my age who died at 52, and I believe probably from overdosing. And, you know, more power to him. Like, he did it right in the window, in the wheelhouse of that kind of levitation. You know, that 52 is a strong calling to get out of here as well. And, you know, I don't really want to do that to my kids or dogs, so I'm just hanging on. But I saw a few opportunities. I saw how it can be lined up and just be accidental / absolutely perfect, and still painful. It's still painful, it's really painful to be here sometimes. That's one of my themes. It's like, yeah, but it's really painful. I just moved somewhere new and I'm really careful, even though it's where I'm from. So it's very familiar. I'm sort of in love with it, but I'm so clear that that won't solve anything. I was very in love with the place I last lived when I first moved there. It's obvious to me that time on Earth isn't really for attachment, I mean, but rather just for being present. Wow, I'm not the sage that I sound like. It's just truly the age range where these things start to settle in. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself, and in Mayan we say, enough.